All right, so I had a bit of a change of plans. I was the tutorial today, this afternoon, I was going to have you do Markov chain Monte Carlo stuff, writing your own Metropolis Hastings routine and so on. But I kind of changed plans because I wanted the way the lectures and the tutorials work out, I thought it would be better to do this. So instead of a tutorial session for this afternoon, I'm finishing the first homework write-up. And then the tutorial session will basically just be a time that you can use to start on that homework with, and the TAs will be there and you can ask questions and whatever, work together on it if you want or whatever. And I thought that then today I would do a bit more like interactive, like live coding stuff to actually go through some of the like practice of using MCMC and Metropolis Hastings. And sort of we can experience some of the pitfalls together instead of having you do that for your tutorial. Because I was like writing up the tutorial and then like also writing the homework, and I was like, these things are like sort of similar, and like I'm th like th the tutorial ended up being like kind of a lot of material for you to kind of figure out for yourselves, and I thought that was not really that helpful. So I hope this will be a little bit more, instructive, and will like show you kind of what how things are going. Okay, so what I'm gonna do is start from the we had the notes from class notebook from the other day. I'm just gonna start on the end of that because I basically just want to build on that. So this is going back to our good old fitting a straight line to our data set. Not very glamorous, but it's kind of the basis of all of this stuff. I think I ran all this already. Anyway, okay, so just to remind you, we're reading the data from this CSV file. Are my plots working? Okay, yeah, so data set looks like that. It's got no uncertainties on the x, some uncertainties on the y's. We're fitting a very just simple linear model with two parameters, b and m, b being the offset, m being the slope. And we saw, given all that, that there's a we can write down this big likelihood function for all of our observations given a set of model parameters. And before we were using, okay, this, we went into the optimization package and using jackknife sampler or jackknife to get an estimate. But today we'll write and use a Metropolis Hastings to sample from that. And again, like this is a model that only has two parameters, so we could just lay down a grid and sample on it, or like evaluate this thing on the grid. But in practice, usually these models will end up having more parameters. For example, a simple extension would be instead of fitting a straight line, we want to fit a parabola. So then now we have three parameters, and it becomes harder to sample that, or like to evaluate that on a 3D grid and be sure that we found the peak of it and understand the maximum and the constraints. And then, suddenly you're fitting a 6-degree polynomial and you're dealing with a 6-degree or a 6-dimensional grid. Things get out of hand pretty quickly for evaluating things on grids. Okay, so we're going to use, oh yeah, right. We're going to use the same likelihood function from before, except we will end up using log likelihood. Oh, this is all, I'm kidding. I'm remembering the disaster of not using dot operations and finding that dividing a vector by a vector yields a matrix. Remember that? That was horrible. That was no fun. Okay, sorry, there's the optimizer. And then, yeah, here was our log likelihood function in the end. So we were getting parameters, making y predictions, and then computing this chi value, which is like the predicted values minus the measured divided by the sigmas. You'll see that again in the homework assignment. And then I did a bit of a cheat or a bit of a shortcut, omitting a constant value from the log likelihood. And we can continue to get away with that because the MCMC routines don't care if there's a scalar offset in all of the values. Like they don't really, they just, because it's the MCMC is only ever looking at, the only thing it ever does with the probabilities is look at ratios of them. So it really doesn't care if there's a scalar log likelihood added on. Okay, so that's all fine, and we saw that the B and M parameter space looked sort of like this. Like there was so if this was the this is B and that's M, there's an optimum, but then there's this sort of like elliptical covariance between those two parameters. And okay, so then we could use jackknife. So I'm just gonna, So I'm gonna start here by writing up an MCMC routine, Metropolis Hastings. So it's gonna get a log prob function, and it's going to get a proposal function. It's going to get an initial value or initial position and a number of steps. Oops. Okay, so anybody, let's see. I don't know how to. Be nice to make this a little bit more interactive rather than just watching me type, but I don't know, anybody want to shout out what comes next? I guess we want to initialize our chain, right? We're going to return a chain of samples. So in the pseudocode from yesterday, I wrote just like that. We'll maybe look at a different way of doing that today. And then let's also keep track of the number of samples, number of steps that are accepted. Okay, and then we've got a loop from one to the number of steps. And what are we doing in each step? So we're getting a new, like proposing a new place to jump.
Yeah, new position.
Yep, so we'll pass P to the propose func, and that'll propose jumping to a new place. And then we'll compute the log prob. I guess I should call it log prob new, which will be the log prob func at that new place. And then, okay, so I wrote it. Oh, I forgot one thing, which is we also need to compute log prob, or like starting log prob place. And I wrote it in a compact way yesterday. Let me just sort of write it out a little bit to make this more, a little bit more clear. So we want to look at, if we're looking at the ratio, then it's the log prob new minus log prob, and then we'll take the x for that. So going back from log space back into linear probability spaces. Mm-hmm. And then basically, if ratio is greater than one, then we want to jump to the new place. And if it's not, then we want to jump to the new place with probability of ratio. So basically, in our code, you know, the behavior we want is that some fraction of the time we're going to jump to the new place anyway, and some fraction, and the rest of the time we'll stay put. So this is sort of like, I think of this as always go uphill and sometimes go downhill, depending on how bad the downhill step is. Mm-hmm. And the way you can do that, like the way you can achieve that thing of probabilistically doing something, is by drawing a random number and then deciding what to do based on that random number. Right? So if I remember correctly, it's just rand is the function we want.
Yeah, it's like
pick a random element. That is not a super helpful bit of documentation.
Are you looking for, like, is it that Gaussian or uniform distribution?
One's uniform is what I want. And I think that documentation is not super helpful. I think if we just go rand, that does what we want.
Yeah.
0.28, 0.19, 0.77.
It's like from 0 to 1.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So I think if we like did a histogram of rand 1,000, is that going to work? Yeah, that it'll give us values between 0 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I think it's rand that we want. Okay, so we're going to draw a random number. And if the ratio is 0.1, we need u to be less than the ratio, then we're going to jump to the new place. Else stay where we are. Does that make sense? So, I think that's right. So if the ratio is 0.1, then the new place is, wait, the worst, but yeah, the new place is worse by, yeah, is 1/10 as good. So we want to jump there 1/10 of the time. And we can achieve that by drawing this random number between 0 and 1. And if it's less than that number of 1/10, then we'll jump there.
Okay.
Okay, so stay where we are is just do nothing, like, because we're going to just keep like p and log prob, which are like our current like position of the walker. And then the two jumps are going to do the same thing, which is p equals p new and log prob equals log prob new. So that's basically saying like our new particle position is p new and our new log prob is log prob new. Okay. So that does, now is that going to work or do I have to, I don't know if I actually can just leave this blank or I have to write something in there as a placeholder. I'm not actually sure.
Yeah, maybe you should like leave a pass or something like that.
Yeah, in Python there's pass. Is there pass in Python? Can we do pass? I don't know. there's nothing. Does that work?
Nothing.
Nothing is sort of like none in Python. Okay. Let's assume that's going to work. so, you know, this whole thing I wrote here was equivalent to...
People saying you can just use an empty block without anything.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. So that whole blob is actually equivalent to you know, what was it, ratio greater than rand, blah, you know. But maybe that's hopefully that's a little bit more clear exactly what we're doing there. Okay, and then regardless of whether we accept or not, we record the position, the current position of the walker. And in the cases where we accept, we want to increase and accept plus equals one. Let's do that down here too. Okay, and at the end we return chain and n accept, or actually n accept over n steps, because we always just want to, we really just care about that ratio. Okay, so that seems to have worked. All right, so let's look at actually how we would set up to call this. We need a couple more ingredients. For one thing, we need to write this propose func, right?
Yeah, it was my question.
Yeah, exactly. So that was one of the things I was like, oh, I didn't actually ever tell them what the propose func looks like. And I was like, oh, I don't really. Like, it is one of the key ingredients. Okay, so. So it wants to take, okay, so this is one of the like bits of complexity or whatever. The MCMC routine we've written wants to call it just like propose func with a, like propose with just the current parameter position. But what we want, the thing we want to actually implement is jumping with a Gaussian scatter that's different for each parameter. Right? So we need to have somewhere that those jump sizes. Let's leave aside for the second how, or for the moment, where we're going to get those from. And so here we want to do Gaussian. So that is rand n generates Gaussian random numbers, n for normal. Those all seem to be, oh, there's the negative one. Okay, so if we draw, I think if we did this, repeated this exercise of drawing 1,000, let's draw 10,000 and histogram them. If we do rand n instead of rand, we'll get this Gaussian kind of distribution. Mm-hmm. We're going sort of out to sort of three-ish sigma on either side.
So it by default it goes from like -3 to 3.
In theory it goes very far out. If we draw like a million, we should get some more. We should get probably 4-ish sigma. Yeah. So it looks like we got like one value of about 4 up to about 4 sigma.
I see.
You know, if you draw, as you draw more and more, you'll get sort of, but it's really dying off. It dies off really quickly.
Okay, I see. Makes sense.
So that's right. Now, if you want to draw two values, you can just go rand n of 2 or 3. So here we want to go p dot plus rand n, and we want to draw as many as the I think it's length, right? Length, yeah. So length will tell us how many elements are in P. So that's just going to draw a Gaussian value, and then we want to multiply it by jump sizes, dot multiply with jump sizes. So basically we're going to take, you know, if P is a two-dimensional vector, then we'll assume jump size is also a 2D vector.
Okay.
And we'll draw two random values, and scale them by those jump sizes and add them to P. So it's basically saying, centered on your current position, draw Gaussian random values with those standard deviations given by the jump sizes. Okay, and then let's look at how, so let's, I think we're almost ready to actually call this whole thing. So I'm gonna call MCMC. What was our log prob function called? it was called just log likelihood. And it wanted parameter vectors, data y, and sigmas. Okay. Okay, so ideally we would just call what was our initial guess was like 0, or was it like 22? And then like maybe 1,000 steps. So ideally we'd just go like this. So we'd go, you know, we'd like to just call our MCMC with our log likelihood, proposal function, our initial guess, and the number of steps. That's not gonna work because our functions don't have quite the right interfaces.
Okay.
So we're gonna have to do this thing of making these little like adapter functions that kind of plug in the extra data that we need. Our log likelihood function, it's getting parameter values, and we want to pass those parameter values to log likelihood. But the log likelihood function also needs data.x, data.y, and data dot, what is it, sigma y?
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so that seemed to work. It's complaining about a different thing. It's complaining about propose now, because propose wants, MCMC routine wants to call it just with P, but our version also needs jump sizes. So we're gonna have to come up with some jump sizes to use. The range of the M's is bigger, so like a step of one is like is probably a reasonable kind of step size. And then the slopes are much more sensitive, so we'll want to take smaller steps there, like maybe 0.1 or something. Okay, so instead of calling our propose function directly, we'll go write this little local function that calls propose with P and jump sizes. Okay, and I think that's gonna work now. I made a typo. Except, not defined, I meant append. so I wanna just add the values to the end of the chain. So I had a typo in there, and let's see what that does. Okay, good. So, okay, that's interesting. Right, yes. Okay, so our MCMC routine returned chain and acceptance rate. So I need to go like that. Okay, and then I guess, so one thing to look at was what our acceptance rate is. It ended up being about 0.3. And it turns out that's not bad to accept a third of the proposed jumps. And the chain looks to be this tooth. So I ran 1,000 steps, and what it's returned is this 2,000 element vector. And you can see they sort of alternate in values. So it looks like these are like the M's and B's, M's and B's, M's and B's. So we could do that. We could deal with that, but it's probably easier if we actually just make the chain be a like 2D, you know, 2D matrix or like vector. So I'm just going to change the MCMC code to do that.
Okay.
And then we'll look at, like, start poking around at the results and see, start playing with the jump sizes and stuff like that. Okay, so let's see. So instead of just initializing chain like that, I'm going to use the zeros function to create an empty, or like a initially zero array. And it's going to be of size n steps and length of p. I think that's going to work. And then instead of append here, we'll go chain of step I and everything equals p. And I think that'll do the trick. Let's find out. Okay, calling it again.
When you write like chain one comma, it's not a semicolon.
Oh yeah, it's a colon.
Yeah. What does that mean? So you like move from one to the end?
Yeah, it sort of means everything. Like I guess it's probably equivalent to one to end. Oops.
Okay.
Similar to like Python has the same kind of syntax where it just means sort of like everything on that. In that dimension of the array.
Okay.
Okay, so now I think chain is now the right size. What does size tell us? Yeah, so it's now 1,000 by 2, like 2D vector. So that'll just make it a little bit easier to deal with. Okay, so whoops, whoa, what did I do? I exited full screen mode, that's what I did. Not on purpose. Okay, so I want to first pull, can I just plot? Yeah, okay, so. Nope, doesn't work. Can I do X label? Nope. Okay. Okay. So if I look at, so I'm plotting, I'm pulling out all of the elements from the chain for the first parameter. So that would be the M's. And we started it off at what, 20 or something, and you can see it sort of like jumping around, moving through that space.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it sort of like, okay, so it's gone from like up to like 30 and then sort of back down to 20 or so. And it looks like it's sort of like moved across that space a few times, right? Let's also look at the other one, at the M. Sorry, this is the first parameter, so that was the B, the offset. And then let's look at the slope. Come on, you can do it. Okay, and then it looks like the slope sort of also moved like a little. We started off at a apparently not very good place, and then it sort of moved around between 2 and 2.5 or something. Let's look at, what is it, hex bin? I think that does what I want. Should make like a histogram, a 2D histogram of those two values.
Nice.
And then I guess we can compare that to our we had a heat map plotting of it before. I'm going to go scroll up and grab that. Just to plot it for comparison.
Okay,
so, and then what are we plotting here? So that we're plotting log likelihoods. So to kind of make it more, to be kind of plotting the same thing, I think you want to take the exp of that, because like it's like the samples want to be drawn according to the probabilities, not the log probabilities. Like you want, you know, where the probability is twice as high, you want twice as many samples. Mm-hmm. So that'll be this this much sharper, like narrower looking ridge. And it looks like it sort of extends from, like, the B values extend from sort of like zero up to like almost 70 or something. And if we look at our chain, it's kind of not really explored that whole area yet. It's only really gone up to about 30. So it hasn't actually even found what we, oh no, we did find the max was like 30-ish. Okay, so it maybe has found the max, but it really hasn't sort of found the kind of extent of that parameter space. So that 1,000 samples we had was not really enough. So let's run it for, I don't know, let's run it for 10,000 instead. It still runs like basically instantly, so we can afford it. Instead of plotting, now the plotting actually gets to be a bit slower. So one thing we could do is plot every 10th sample. So instead of using everyone, we can go count from 1 by 10s up to the end and just plot every 10th sample. And that should give us, still give us a pretty good idea of what it's doing. So yeah, there you can see it sort of going, yeah, interesting. It's still, you know, sort of, it's exploring a larger range. It's going up to almost 70 now, but it's really only kind of crossed a whole space once. Whereas you'd sort of like to see it, you know, sort of moving around across that space over and over again. Okay. And then let's also have a look at what the other one looks like. Come on, you can do it. Okay, yeah, interesting. So that sort of similarly looks to have sort of crossed the space once. Let's plot this. It should be a little bit closer to our, yeah, so that's sort of looking a little bit closer to our the values we had before, like it's sort of filling in that space a little bit more. We can probably, let's do 10 times more just for kicks. I won't do the plots, but I'll just do the heat map or hex bin. And you can see that it's now starting to get like a little bit more, you know, it's getting to be a bit more smooth. You can see that it's sort of converging to the nice sort of smoothly sampled distribution we had before. And okay, but let's look a bit at the jump sizes. So I guessed, I just pulled some values out of the air based on kind of looking at the plot and saying what would be a reasonable change in each of these parameters. And we're getting an acceptance rate that's kind of reasonable overall, but we don't really know if it's that like maybe the majority of those ones are getting accepted and the majority of those ones are getting rejected. So it's like effectively only moving in one dimension. So as it currently stands, we don't really have a good way of evaluating that, of telling like, is it, which one of these numbers do we have to change? So one thing we can do is actually go back to the MCMC routine and change it a little bit. And instead of jumping both parameters each time, we can choose instead to just jump one at a time.
Okay.
And that turns out to be still a legitimate MCMC routine, so it still works. And then we can measure the acceptance rate separately for those two parameters. And then like tune them each individually. Okay, so I think I'm gonna do that by, there's a few different ways we could do that. Okay, I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to go, instead of computing p new directly, I'm going to go p proposed and still propose a jump in all dimensions. But then I'm just going to keep one of them, keep the update for one of the dimensions. So I'm going to go p new is copy of p, and then p new. I'm just going to change one of the values, so right, so I'm gonna go like this. I'm gonna use this mod, so that'll I might have to be careful here. Okay, so if I have a say a length 2 vector, what does I mod n, I keep hitting the wrong, I don't know what key I'm hitting to make it exit full screen. And then I think if I go 2 mod n, it's either going to give me back, it's going to give me back 0. Okay, so in Python, you could just do this if you wanted to loop between, like, so what I want to do is like a round robin between the different elements in P. Like here we only have 2, but I'm just going to write it in the general form so that it could work for more. In Python, I could just do this, like to take the counter and mod it by the length to cycle through them. Like, because if you go basically 3 mod n, it will go back to 1, so it sort of toggles between that. But since I need these indices to be 0 indexed, I think I need to go like this. 1 plus, and then the I starts at 1, so I want to go 1 plus the mod of I minus 1. Okay, so that's a little messier than I was expecting, but that's Julia's. Okay, so basically what I'm doing is I'm still going to jump using our usual proposal function, but then I'm just going to keep one of those new elements. So I'm just going to copy like one of the proposed elements each time into our p new, and then everything else will go as before. And then except I'm going to make this n except is also going to be a vector of length p, and instead of, I'm going to copy this ridiculous thing to n except. So I'm going to go like that. So I'm going to, depending on the parameter that we updated here, actually. Update index there. We'll just avoid rewriting that a bunch of different times. index and an accept for whichever index we updated. I'll increase, and same with the other place where we change and accept. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, so I think that's all I need. I'm just going to return an accept, make that a dot divide because who knows what it'll do otherwise. Okay, propose stays the same. And now let's have a look at what we get if we, I'll call it with slightly fewer. Okay. Okay, so now instead of just getting a single scalar acceptance rate, we get 0.46 and 0.16. So that's telling us that, I believe, that's telling us that the steps of 1 are probably about right, and the steps of 0.1 are maybe a little too big because they're being accepted fairly infrequently. So it's proposing fairly large steps that are kind of ambitious steps that get rejected a lot. So if we made this much smaller, if we made this 0.01, we should see that acceptance rate go way up the second, hopefully, just the second acceptance rate if I got my indices right and stuff. I think I did. Okay, so before it was 0.6 and 0.16. So yeah, so now we get, oh yeah, you're right, 0.4 something and also 0.4 something.
Can you remind me, what is the first and second acceptance rate?
Yeah, so therefore, they're the acceptance rates for jumps in M or in B.
Mm-hmm.
Like
so
basically.
Different options.
Yeah, so it's like the first, basically in the MCM, the modified MCMC routine, the first step, the first step, this update index is going to be 1. And I'm only going to update the first element in that rate in that parameter vector, which is M and B. And then so I'm going to jump only in M. And then the second time through, that update index is going to be 2. And I'm only going to jump in the slope.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I said it the wrong way around. The first time we go through, we are jumping in B, the offset, and the second time through in M, and then B, and then M, B, and M, alternating each step of the MCMC routine.
Okay.
And then you record the acceptance rate separately.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, good. So then if, okay, so if we make it much smaller, let's make it another tenth as big, we should see that second acceptance rate go up again. Huh, interesting. Not by very much.
Normalize the acceptance ratio by this, the number of steps by 2 because we're going for each factor.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yes, good, thank you. Okay, yeah, so we didn't take n steps, we took n steps over length. Thank you. Over length of p because we're alternating, right? So, okay, so let's, that might change a little bit about how we feel about that. Okay, yeah, that's much more, okay, that's much more instructive. Okay, so now we're finding the acceptance rates are, for these tiny, tiny steps, are like 0.998. So it's proposing these tiny little steps that are almost always accepted because, like, basically, even if you propose to go downhill, it's maybe only, it's very slightly downhill. So then that ratio between the probabilities is very large. And then you only need to draw, you have to draw a random number that's larger than that large ratio for the move to get rejected. Okay, but also it's interesting that the first rate is also very, is pretty large. So actually maybe our jump size of 1 is actually also too small. Okay, so now we can basically just like fiddle with these values by hand, mess around. I made it a tenth bigger, or 10 times bigger, and it changed. So now it's to 89%. I'm just changing the second one. At 0.1, it's back down to 35%. Now that's probably about right. The 1 is still a bit big, so I'm going to make that step size bigger, and we should see that acceptance rate drop from 0.93 down to something hopefully more reasonable. 0.8, make it 5. What about 10? That gives us 0.5. That's probably pretty reasonable. Okay, so I'm going to do 10,000 samples again, and then let's actually just plot what the chains look like. Okay, good. Yeah, so here's this is the chain now, and you can see that it's sort of like it's covering a pretty broad range from 0 up to 80, and it's sort of like going back and forth across that space like a bunch of times. So that makes me feel pretty pleased. And if we look at the second parameter, we should see, hopefully, it doing something similar. Yeah, so it's covering a pretty broad range, and it's sort of moving across that space a number of times. And hopefully, if we plot the hex bin here, we should get a smoother distribution. Yeah, so that's looking pretty good. Can probably give extra parameters to tell Hexbin how many cells to use, but I don't know what that what that syntax is exactly. And then the other thing we can do, okay, I'm almost out of time. There's this package called, I think, it's called CornerPlot. CornerPlots. Have I not? Oh, I probably haven't. Import package, package.add corner plots. Corner plot. Got there eventually. Well, I'm not certain this will work, actually. Oh yeah, it might. I don't. I wasn't certain whether it used.
Why it's installed Optim and Mikey?
Yeah. Why does it need all this stuff? I have no idea.
Because I feel like every time I'm installing something, it checks about all other libraries or installing them one more time. Even the libraries I already have.
Yeah, I think sometimes it is checking versions of things. Like some packages might say, oh, I need this version above, you know, I need more than version, newer than version 7, and maybe then it.
Check requirements or something like that.
Yeah, so. Sorry, I didn't think this was going to take so long. Okay, so it's supposed to be just a quick corner, like, corner plot. Actually, let me just look at the documentation for corner plot. I can remember how it works. It makes these kinds of plots that you may have seen in, like you often see in cosmology papers in particular, where they've done an MCMC and then they want to show you what the joint distribution is. So here's, you know, a two-parameter model, and then these are the projections along each axis. So one of the nice things about MCMC is that if you only care about one of the parameters, you can just do the projection. Like you can only look at that one parameter, and that distribution is a correct representation of that distribution. Because you've sort of sampled the whole probability space correctly, if you only care about this one, you can just project it out and, you know, that's all you have to kind of care about or think about. And it often comes up in practice, and it will come up in your homework, that you have like you have an extra parameter that you have to have in the model but you don't really care about. Those are usually called nuisance parameters. So it might be you know, it might be something about the experimental setup or the apparatus that you don't fundamentally care about, but it affects your measurements, so you still have to model it out. Okay. You know what? I'm not certain that I'm that's the right package. I did write my own little corner plot thing, so maybe we'll use that instead. Just stealing my corner. Oh, yeah, that was good. Yeah, okay, that corner. That's good. And that's just going to be other way around. Okay, that is really taking a long time to install, that corner plot package. Wasn't expecting that. So there's one other thing that we could, that I guess I should mention. we used this method here to, like the method of adjusting one parameter at a time, to tune these step sizes, or to tune these jump sizes. But we are still jumping in basically according to an ellipse that's aligned with the axes. Whereas we saw that actually in our probability space, they're really correlated, right? So kind of ideally, you would jump, if you jump in one parameter, you should jump in the other also.
Okay.
In an uncorrelated way, or in a correlated way. So I'm not going to try to do that today, but you could do that. Like you could write that by changing your proposal function so that you, instead of passing in a vector of jump sizes, you could pass in like a matrix that is like it's not quite a correlation matrix, it's like the square root of the correlation matrix, I guess, that basically would let you take a Gaussian random sample, or like a pair of Gaussian random samples, and instead of having them be independent, you would multiply them by that matrix to give you correlated samples. So you would then be drawing samples from that like correlation matrix. I won't be able to do that in like the 2 minutes we have left, but that would then that should allow you to give to basically produce even better samples that would then cover that space more quickly and achieve an equally good sampling with fewer steps. So that would be the sort of next step to do in this process, if you were wanting to go there. You would probably do that by running your chain in initial time, and then measuring the covariance of these samples, and then using that as your proposal distribution in a second round. As I mentioned in yesterday's lecture, it's hard to do that adaptation during the run of the algorithm. It's hard to do that and also preserve detailed balance, so people typically don't try. Basically just like run a little pre-run to get a sense of what the parameter space looks like, and then use that to tune the proposal distribution. Okay, let's see if that corner plot thing finally installed. If it did, we'll make our glorious plot. Otherwise, we'll call it a day. It looks like still no, so we can just imagine a glorious plot that it will just have, actually it's just gonna look like this hex bin with the marginal distributions on the two sides. So it's really not that glorious of a plot for this two-dimensional example. But for 3D, it's kind of cuter. Anyway, that's all. Thank you. We'll have the homework assignment in time for the tutorial session this afternoon.
Okay.
I unfortunately won't be there because I have a family responsibility, so you will be left in the capable hands of your TAs.
Good.
And I think it's going to be a good assignment. You're finally going to do the Perlmutter cosmology thing using MCMC and like kind of putting it all together.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a good homework.
Can't wait.
Discover dark energy.
Uh-huh.
Win a retro Nobel Prize.